The nutritional status of South Africa's children is deteriorating. According to the 2020 child gauge released by UCT's Children's Institute, one in four children under the age of five are stunted, which is chronic undernutrition that has remained stubbornly unchanged for the last 20 years. On the flip side of this coin, South Africa has seen a steady increase in childhood overweight and obesity, which is now double the global average. We discussed the findings of UCT's 2020 child gauge with Julian May, who is from the Center of Excellence in Food Security at the University of the Western Cape. Julian, a very good morning to you. Thank you for your time. Welcome to Radio Islam International.
Oh, thank you very much, and thank you for inviting me.
So one in four children under the age of five are stunted. Explain that to us.
Okay, so as a child develops, its development can be measured by its length when it's an infant, or by its height as it gets older. These are compared to international standards so that we can see whether a child is growing physically as fast as it ought to be if it was properly fed. The idea here is that we're not only concerned about the physical height of the child, that length or that height also shows how well the child's other systems are developing, its immune system, its motor system, and critically, its cognitive system. So all aspects of human development can be captured in this measure of stunting.
On the other hand, then, South Africa has seen a steady increase in childhood overweight and obesity, which is now double the global average. So why the contradiction, if you like? How do we compare the two? On the one hand, one in four children are stunted, undernourished, malnourished. On the other hand, we have obesity in children, which is double the global average.
Yes, indeed. That is always something which people think of as a contradiction. And in fact, we talk about it as the double burden of malnutrition. It's not unknown, and it happens elsewhere in the world. Mexico is another country where we have an association between stunting and overweight and obesity, and where overweight and obesity actually is an illness of poverty rather than wealth. The reason why people become overweight and obese is complex, but some of it is to do with eating empty calories, so eating food that has lots of calories, lots of fat, lots of salt and sugar, but no nutrition. So it doesn't have the micronutrients that we need. That kind of food typically is cheaper than healthy food, and so people buy that when they are poor because it makes them at least feel sated. They feel that they are not hungry, and it makes them have the energy to get through life. But also, overweight and obesity is actually associated with stunting. A child that has experienced a chronic malnutrition when it was very young tends to be predisposed towards becoming overweight and obesity in later life. The body starts to adapt to being without food, and when it is fed, stores that food as fat. It is an association between stunting and overweight. Often people who were stunted become overweight and obese in later life. And also critically, women who are stunted, then overweight and obese, then give birth to children that are underweight, and again, the cycle is repeated. So we wind up with an intergenerational transfer of this illness.
So if I'm understanding you correctly, on the one hand, one in four children are undernourished in South Africa because of poverty. But those who are suffering from obesity, those kids, it's not necessarily because they are from the other grouping that are the middle class or the affluent. It's the very same children who are eating the wrong type of foods because of obesity.
Absolutely.
Rather, because of poverty.
Absolutely. And in fact, what we tend to find is that people who are wealthy tend to be slim. They're the ones who can afford to go to gym. They can manage their diets and eat expensive salads. So exactly as you say.
How do we compare then to other countries on a similar footing? Is it worse in South Africa because of the huge divide that we have between those who have and those who don't? The huge levels of unemployment and poverty in our country. Does that make the issue of malnutrition in children much more acute in our country compared to other countries of a similar footing?
Well, if you compare our stunting levels to other countries, we find, yes, there are other countries where you have up to a quarter of the population, a quarter of the children's population who are stunted, but they are very much poorer than us. We are, in fact, an outlier. Among countries that have a similar level of GDP to us, we sit there with the only other countries that we are with are countries that are extremely unequal, such as we are, Gabon being an example. Countries that are similar to us, Brazil, Peru, once had high levels of stunting, but have done very well at reducing those. So Peru, for example, has been able to reduce their stunting levels by more than two-thirds, often using similar policies to us. Peru also is an unequal society, but has been much more successful at actually reaching the poor. In terms of overweight and obesity, we are up there with the top. We are there with countries like America, wealthy countries, but again, countries where there is a huge divide between the rich and the poor, and where the poor eat unhealthy food.
So what's the solution? I suppose some could argue that deal with unemployment, deal with poverty, and this issue will sort itself out. But that said, I mean, it's not something that can be dealt with overnight. The country has been grappling with high levels of unemployment and poverty and this big gap between those who have and those who don't for the better part of two decades. So in the short to medium term, what can be done to try and improve the situation of malnutrition in children?
So we are calling for three actions. The first is that I think all the research that we have looked into has shown that the grants that we are giving, particularly the child grant, is too little for parents to be able to afford a healthy diet. The grant is below our national food poverty line, and there is no way that a family or a caregiver would be able to purchase the appropriate food to feed a child. So what we're calling for immediately is an increase in the child support grade to at least the food poverty line. The second is that, in fact, we have many of the appropriate policies written. The question is, those policies either are not being properly implemented, and in particular, they're not being properly coordinated. We actually have a national food security and nutrition plan, and that plan calls for the establishment of a food council at a very high level, probably the level in the office of the presidents. Mm-hmm. There is already a technical coordinating committee, but we would like to see the council, which should involve civil society, it should involve the private sector, because we need the private sector to come to the party on this, and critically it needs to involve expertise in the situation of children. And lastly, we would like to see how we bring all these policies together in a roadmap that allows us to achieve what is actually a requirement of our constitution. Our constitution gives children the absolute right to nutrition. And so we want to see government prepare a roadmap that shows how they will use their resources and their policies, their existing policies, to achieve this right.
Julian, we thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Take care.